everybody. This is Catherine Spires, and we are recording Smart Mouth this week on the island of Nevis in the Caribbean, which is cool because I've never been to this part of the world. It's so neat. And my guest this week is Llewellyn Clark. Hi.
Hi. Good morning there. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for letting us come to your factory farm warehouse so early in the morning. It seems
rude.
8 o'clock
is late for the Nevis is late.
Really?
8 o'clock, yes.
Oh, because it gets too hot in the day.
It gets too hot, yeah. And like I'm up about maybe about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a prayer session at 5 o'clock. And so you're up early and then you start the day.
Yeah. And then is there like resting in the afternoon or?
Resting, no.
Not for you.
Oh.
Because you have too many jobs. You're not allowed to rest.
Okay.
Yeah, so you own a food company and the most well-known product, I want to say, probably is your hot pepper sauce.
Is hot pepper sauce, yes.
Yes. And then you're also a butcher at the Four Seasons.
Yeah, butcher at the Four Seasons. But with my products that I make also, which is well-known, is like my salad dressings and my ice creams. They go well with a lot of consumers in the Nevis.
Okay. They're very popular here locally.
Very, very popular, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, other people outside of the island have noticed too, you were the star of a FedEx commercial.
Yeah, 2014. That was quite nice, actually.
Yeah, I bet.
And it was such a surprise.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know they were doing it. I was on holiday in England at the time in London. Mm-hmm. I came back. There were messages on my answering machine. Saying that there's some people here from a company and would like to do an interview with me because they hear I make pepper sauce. And I went, okay.
Yeah, easy.
Very simple, very easy. Okay then. And it turned out well. They didn't say it was FedEx initially. They just said it was a documentary.
Oh.
And then they're vetting people on different islands
okay.
to see what their product is, what they do, and how they would slot into what they are, what they're thinking about.
Okay.
So they said, okay, we're going to choose you. Then they said, okay, it's going to be a FedEx commercial, but don't tell anybody.
Funny.
I didn't tell anybody.
So you kept it a secret.
You had to keep it a secret, you see. You had to keep it a secret until it actually came out, until it was aired.
Yeah.
You see.
Yeah.
And then everybody, I said, well, you didn't tell me that. I said, I couldn't say anything.
That's so funny. Oh, that's fun. So did it lead to a boost in business?
It led to a boost in business, yeah. Initially, you had a spike. But then it drops because then it's the shipping is hard sometimes because the only way to ship out of Nevis right now is by FedEx.
Of course.
Yeah. And then people are thinking about the prices, or the price is too much for them. They like the product. So you have to think of different avenues to get your stuff across. Now we're going to be trying to get Amazon distribution in the States and in the UK.
Okay.
So it'd be a larger volume of product at an outside distribution unit. Mm-hmm.
And you're in all the grocery stores here, right?
Yeah, I'm in a lot of the grocery stores here and at the gift shops in St. Kitts, the duty-free gift shop. So people can get them while they're here, and then when they're on the way out, they've got a last stop. Oh,
yeah.
Williams pepper sauce is in there, so they can...
Yeah, yeah, you got to grab it while you can.
Yeah.
So what are the varieties of the hot pepper sauce that you do?
The varieties which I have are, I have the original thyme, which is just red pepper, the red chili pepper, and thyme. I have the mango, which is the mango ginger garlic pepper sauce, that one. I do a guava one. I've started doing a mango one, and also I have a papaya one, which I do in conjunction with the Four Seasons.
Okay. Do you have a favorite?
My favorite is the mango one because it's a seller.
Oh, so you like it because it sells the best.
It sells the best.
Got it. Is it your personal favorite flavor wise?
Yes.
Is it
yeah,
the one you
because
would
I, okay. I can introduce it into many different products.
Mm-hmm.
Like in like dressings, if you're doing marinade, you can use the marinade. You could use like the mango pepper sauce and put some curry powder, some cumin, and then you've got a different base for a marinade, for like fish dish or chicken dish.
That sounds nice.
So it works.
What kind of peppers do you use?
I use Scotch bonnet and Caribbean red. They're on the same level of heat.
Which is pretty hot.
It is hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you balance like flavors outside of the heat? Do you just use your own palate, or do you
you have to taste it.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning, you just have to taste it, and you have to remember if... It's like a memory thing. You're thinking, oh, it's not acidic enough. It's not sweet enough. And sometimes you get a tingling in your head, right? And it's like, okay, that's it.
Okay. So you just trust your own taste.
You just trust your own judgment.
You don't like You don't like peer test it or anything and like check around?
No, but you've actually got the initial, you mean actually when you're making the product or when you're actually making the product or prior?
Well, if you've got it in the bottle, mm-hmm. are you like, I'm confident in this.
I'm confident because it's not going to get in the bottle unless it's been, unless I've tried it and
got it,
tested it and made sure that it's at the right flavor and right sweetness and right acidity.
See, this is like where my own fears come into play because I can't really eat very spicy food.
Okay.
So I'm like, how do you know it's not too spicy? Yeah. But it seems like it is very spicy, but a lot of people like that.
Yeah, a lot of people like the spicy. Yeah. But it's
I mean,
spicy.
I'm the weird one. For not liking it.
Yeah, don't say it. Everyone's got the tolerance level with pepper anyway, you see. Mm-hmm. So if it's too hot, you don't put as much in.
Yeah.
Simple and effective.
Right.
If you like it, you don't like too much pepper, just a small
Do you do
amount.
Different heat levels for the different sauces?
Not really, because you're using the standard, I wouldn't say standard pepper, you're using the pepper which has got the you know what level of heat is.
Yeah.
You know it's all going to be on the same level.
Right.
Now, if you started using different peppers now, which are different levels, then you could say, okay, I'm going to have a very hot one because you have the ghost pepper, the scorpion pepper and all them silly peppers that people want to just have like a macho competition. I can eat 50 of these.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you about these peppers.
I'm not going to enter that competition.
Okay.
No. Got it.
I know, because I think a lot of people know about ghost peppers, which are really spicy.
Yes.
But people have been working since ghost peppers were created to make even spicier. And like you said, they have names like scorpion.
Why? I don't understand that.
Okay.
That's just crazy, macho, or I can eat. No.
Right. Right. Not interesting.
Not interested in going that route. No.
Okay. I see. So you grow some of your own peppers and then also work with farmers.
Yes. I work with farmers here in Nevis and over in St. Kitts as well. They are actually growing a lot more peppers in St. Kitts right now because they have the supply over there. Well, actually, there's more demand over in St. Kitts because St. Kitts is much more... It works at a faster speed than Nevis. You see, there's a lot more hotels over there, and a lot more people who enjoy peppers. And there's a lot of companies over there that actually make pepper sauce as well. So there's a larger supply of peppers over
so
there.
So more farmers as
there's,
well.
There's just a lot more farmers, yeah.
And so, do you just tell them to keep growing more Scotch bonnets? Have you worked on you? It seems like you haven't worked on trying to do like. New hybrids or anything?
No, I'm not gonna do that right presently. No, I'm just gonna do the standard, which I've known works. If you know something works, if someone says, if the system works, why change it?
Right.
So
right.
Just I mean, you can also do a niche market. You can have put a pepper sauce in there, which you know is going to be harder, and say, okay, this is really really hot. Because I did a pepper sauce once. It takes too long to make because it was a concentrate, and people used to call it suicide pepper sauce because you only need to put a drop in.
Yeah.
A drop in, you see. So I said to myself, I'm not going to make it because I can't make the quantity. If I get the particular type of pepper, I can go back to that. But I said, I'm sticking to what I know.
Right, because it works so well.
It works so well, you see.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And I don't have to go on and advertise now about the pepper sauce now because people always know about it, you see. So if someone asks, well, what was it like? And says, well, ask the Four Seasons, they buy it. Ask somebody there.
Because you sell it at the Four Seasons.
I sell it at the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah. You got in there.
Yeah. I had to get in there, you see. So I started the Four Seasons to use it at the Mango restaurant and they use it at the breakfast in Neve. Mm-hmm. They have like little dishes there on the breakfast table. You can have a small dish of pepper sauce and they have the mango and they have the regular.
And that's how it's introduced to people, right?
Yes, yes.
So I heard that was actually Tabasco's business model. When they first started, they were like, let's not even worry about selling it in stores first. Mm-hmm. Let's get it in all the hotels.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that people recognize it.
Yeah, and they recognize it. And they recognize it now because then they go in there and say, oh, Llewellyn's pepper sauce. Oh, we see that in the FedEx commercial. We see that on CNN. And
It's all about brand recognition.
Brand recognition, exactly, yes.
Interesting. So a lot of people in America don't know that St. Kitts and Nevis is one country.
Yes.
The Federation, but it seems like they have two different cultures.
I wouldn't say two different cultures. I would say the pace of the islands are different. St. Kitts is much faster. Nevis is like very laid back, relaxed, take it easy. People say, oh, you're walking too fast, you're talking too fast. Man, take your time, take it easy. I go, at the end of the day, I need to get stuff done. So if I have to move fast, I have to move fast. You have to move fast to get it done.
And cruise ships aren't allowed to dock on Nevis.
Cruise ships now, they dock out and then the tenders would come in.
Oh, I see.
The tenders come in, you see.
So you make it a little more difficult.
It makes it a little more difficult to dry down because then you have to pay a fee.
Like, right.
You have to taxi the people making money just to go from Long Point to Charlestown.
Yeah.
You see, so.
Is that by design to keep it quieter here?
No, it's just how it was, just how it was set up.
Oh, okay.
Just how it was set up, you see. Because Long Point was like for the, mostly for the delivering of cargo. Because that's where the port is there. But then people really want to come into town, but there's no facilities into town for a cruise ship. And that's it's good and it's bad in some ways.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the bad part is you could...
The bad part is that you have to get a taxi from all the way to Long Point.
Yeah.
And people want to actually come onto the island and be actually where the shops are straight away. They don't want to really get a taxi.
Where the shops are.
To where the shops are, you
right.
see.
Right. I like it here that it's not totally tourist oriented.
Yes, yeah.
It's got there's a lot of other things going
yes,
on
exactly.
here.
Yep.
I've enjoyed it. I had been pronouncing the name of this island wrong my entire life.
Well, how have you been pronouncing it?
Nevis.
No, it all depends where you come from. You can say Nevis or well, in England, it's in Scotland. There's a mountain called Ben Nevis.
Uh-huh.
You see. And then people see that word there, Nevis, and then when they come to Nevis now, they say, oh, it's spelled that way. Oh, it's pronounced Nevis.
Oh, but so British Nevis, people sometimes pronounce it Nevis too?
Yes.
Oh, that makes me feel better and fancier. Yeah. I was mispronouncing it the British way. So.
People say Nevis, but then they say when they come to this island now, it's like, oh, no, this is Nevis. You see, just the pronunciation of the island.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to pronounce it correctly. Yeah. I'm glad I know now.
Okay. I'm not going to charge you for that one.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So chili peppers are native to Central America area.
Yeah.
Apparently we call them peppers though, because of Columbus and his whole cohort that thought because they tasted spicy that they were black pepper.
Okay.
He was just so stupid and he's still calling things the way that he did it, and it never made any sense. But they're not. Black pepper is something totally different than chili peppers.
Yes, they are. Yep.
And so this is I don't know. It's just nature. Birds can't taste capsaicin.
Okay.
And capsaicin is the spiciness.
The spiciness.
Yeah. So they can just eat chili peppers all day.
Yes.
And then they spread the seeds.
Spread the seeds. They're good little birds, aren't they?
Yeah. They are so good. So you're okay with birds? It's the monkeys here that are the ones who will ruin your crops?
Monkeys don't really go for the to damage pepper crop, really.
Because they can taste capsaicin?
I think so, yes. They do most damage to everything else, mangoes, the guava. Even they're picking up the herbs now. They pick up the green onion, they pull up the whole root, and then they eat the bulbs.
My goodness.
Yeah.
So for someone like me who lives in California, I'm like, oh, monkeys, oh, cool. Monkeys, yeah. But people who...
Nevis go, monkey?
Is that what you say to get them away?
It's like you call the dog, you see.
Yeah.
You go, woot, 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 woot. And the dog will chase them away, you see.
Oh, my gosh. And that's why you have so many dogs.
That's to
why
you have so many protect. Dogs, you see.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Because the dogs are supposed to be to chase the monkeys away. But what happens, right? Sometimes you come home from work, right? And you look over and the monkey's there in the ground, sitting by the dog, right? And then when the dog sees you, he's like, woof, 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 woof. I said, now you're chasing the monkey away?
Oh my God, really? They're best friends when your back is turned.
The best friends, don't they just sit? The monkey will just come and they'll sit by and eat the food in the garden. And the dogs will say, looking at the monkey, saying, good morning. And then make noise like when it sees you.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I think that's cute because I have no stake in it. It's less cute to you, I understand.
No, not when your livelihood is agriculture and the monkeys are classified as being a pest now because they're just getting out of order now. They, and they really, they, Before, they never used to come down into the grounds, but now they realize, I don't feel threatened anymore, so I just come.
Right. Come, I heard that there was an initiative to put feeding stations higher up in the mountains so that they'll just get fat up there.
The feeding stations up in the mountains is for a long-term sterilization project.
Oh, is it birth control food?
Uh-huh.
God, that's amazing.
That's what it's all about. Well, it's a long-term thing. I don't know how many years it's going to have. It's going to need for it to be put into practice, but it's a long-term thing.
But so it hasn't worked yet? You guys haven't seen a decrease?
You still see a lot of monkeys around the AT because they're just breeding. So
that's so funny. I mean, you guys are tricking them into eating birth control, I tell you.
I tell them, read the small print. They don't want to read the small print.
Right, yeah. So
they're suffering the consequences.
Monkeys are not detail-oriented. We all know this. So it is believed that chili peppers were domesticated around 2,000 years ago.
Okay.
Somewhere between Mexico and Bolivia. And they were bred to have bigger fruits. And they were ground into paste. Added water, added herbs, got the first hot sauce.
Okay.
Of course, people eat spicy food in most of the world.
Yes.
But hot sauce specifically was invented somewhere around here.
Yep.
Do you feel like it's part of, like, the cultural tradition of Nevis hot sauce?
Yeah. I think for the Caribbean as well, there's a hot sauce. Whenever you think of the Caribbean, you always think of hot sauce.
Always think
of hot sauce, you see. So it's like a stamp of approval, really, saying, well, Caribbean, hot sauce.
Oh, I see. Do you feel competitive with all the other hot sauce makers? Is there like friendly competition?
I would say you have friendly competition. Yeah. There's not really serious competition. You have a few people making pepper sauce. Now, pepper sauce industry in Nevis is mostly what they call the cottage industry,
mm-hmm.
where a lot of people like, well, mostly it's a lot of females making pepper sauce, and they're making it in the kitchens, you see.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I was making it, but then I got a break with FedEx.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been making it well before the FedEx venture came up, maybe from about 2004, because working in England, or being a chef in England, and making it in small batches, and I said, okay, you know something, I'm going to try it a different way now. Because it's very rustic, the way they used to have it. It's usually just ground up peppers with vinegar, a bit of salt,
mm-hmm.
a bit of sugar. And so it was like in a Lucozade bottle as well. So that's how they used it. Whenever you see pepper sauce in the Caribbean years ago, it used to be in a Lucozade bottle because it was a nice shape, you know, with a little red cap on the top.
Okay, so, I see.
So they used to have it like that. But I said, I need to go up market, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'm going to make hot pepper and thyme. So I made that. Had it distributed in a lot of places in Nevis. And then I said, okay, well, let me try something else. So then I tried the mango one. You just seeing what's available, what's in abundance. And I said, okay, and the good variety of that. Then I got into the guava, then the mango, and now the banana.
It's weird to me because Europeans don't really cook spicy food.
Yes.
They're not known for that.
No, not at all. No.
But apparently it got from the Central America, Caribbean part of the world,
yes.
The chili peppers, through Europe to Africa and Asia.
Yeah.
So it went through an area that I guess had no use for spiciness mm-hmm. ever, and then got to people who were into it.
Yeah.
Who, of course, as we mentioned before, like already were eating spicy food. It's just this particular type.
Yes, yes.
Making it into a sauce out of chili peppers. And chili peppers have diversified. Now there's how many varieties? Hundreds of thousands?
Thousands of varieties.
Yeah.
I think. You go in the lab, people are just going in the lab saying, oh, I think I'm going to make the hottest one ever now. Mm-hmm. I don't know on the Scoville scale. I'm not sure what the hottest one now is right now, you see.
Right. And I think they've actually like added numbers
I
to the scale.
But that's like Frankenstein food. That you don't want to get away from all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I seen a report on, I think it was on BBC the other day, about people eating the hot peppers. Like if you start getting headaches.
Yeah.
It's getting too hot for you because you start getting pains in your head.
Oh my gosh.
And so if you start getting them pains, to stop eating the peppers because it's just too hot. It's just too hot and it's just messing up your system. Well, it's messing up your stomach, but then it's going in your bloodstream as well. And
oh my
brain
gosh.
Saying, oh, it's too hot.
But it's not just making it spicier. Some people are making them sweeter.
Yes.
Or even sometimes less spicy. Like there's a variety of habanero now that's like has no spiciness to it.
Yeah.
So for that, I am thankful.
Okay.
Personally,
we still got the flavor of the pepper. Actually, got a flavor to it. If you took away the heat,
mm-hmm.
some of the pepper is very fruity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fruity flavor to it. You get the fruity taste first, and then you get the heat. But the heat lasts a lot longer than the fruity flavor.
Right. Yeah, that sticks with you more.
Yeah.
And then the vinegar element. I know vinegar is a preservative, yeah. but do you think about the flavor element of that as well? Like what kind of vinegar
yeah,
you would use?
If you use it like a white vinegar is like a plain, because like that's plain standard vinegar. That was used for pickling as well. But then you could add a apple cider vinegar, which mm-hmm. is much sweeter. So it will complement a pepper sauce that you would, that's going to be sweetened. Or if you're using a fruit, like a fruity pepper sauce, you use apple cider vinegar.
Oh, I see. Okay. So is that what you use in your hot sauces?
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. It's like in the Southeast US, vinegar heavy hot sauces are really popular.
Yes.
I think those ones are delicious.
Okay.
It's what we make buffalo wings with, vinegar sauce.
Yeah. but the buffalo sauce is not that hot though, right?
Exactly.
It's not that hot. It's mild.
Yes.
That's why you got your Wendy's.
Are you making fun of Americans?
No. What I'm saying is that...
I mean, it's okay if you are.
No. This is being aired in America. So I'm not making fun of no Americans.
My listeners can handle it. We know the score. We know. Yeah. It's fine.
Or get Trump knocking on my door. I said, Mr. Clark, he even cussing us. I said, no.
I've actually joked about how I'm sure that no Trump voters listen to my show. Because we... talk about stuff like that all the time. We don't like him.
No.
We were talking about how great it was that we weren't in the US for the 4th of July this year.
That you weren't?
Yeah.
Okay, and how did it compare?
Well, I mean, we just like it would just be a confusing time to be celebrating the United States right now because we're really embarrassed of it.
Okay.
So, anyway, what do people on Nevis think about the US?
I think a lot of them loved the US actually because a lot of them want to go up there.
Sure.
They will want to get the green card and stay up there for a bit. A lot of Nevisians actually live in the States right now.
Mm-hmm.
They went up there and they go up there primarily for a few years, but then they stay. They just love the country and they're done.
Yeah. Don't. I mean, there's a lot that's...
There's a lot going for it, you know? I mean, sometimes you leave Nevis with just like an education.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to the States to build up your family.
Mm-hmm.
You work up there and then you would send your remittances back to your family down in the
right.
So
right.
A lot of it's like a family thing. They have to go up there, make a living, and then send the money back down here and help the folks that they've left behind here.
So it's still seen as a place with opportunities?
Yes. Still, I would say so. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I hope Trump doesn't ruin that. Everybody, he's making it very difficult for people to move there now.
Exactly,
like scary to move there.
Because I feel like if I go there, will they throw me out? You see,
right?
So that's the thing.
Exactly.
You don't want to go there. You go up there to plan your life and plan for your family, and then it says, "Well, you're not welcome anymore."
Yeah.
Don't want that to happen.
No.
You don't want another Windrush sort of thing. Windrush was the name of a boat.
Okay.
Came from Jamaica with Jamaicans going over to England to help build up the country after the war. And so they were in the country like me for 40, 50 years, working, paying bills, paying taxes. And then the government says, well, you guys are going to have to go because we don't have your papers. They never actually gave them the papers, the legal papers. Or they actually, the truth is they actually destroyed the papers. And then when Theresa May saying, well, we need to cut down on immigration, we said we need to get rid of some people. They looked and thought, oh, Windrush generation, let's get rid of them.
Oh my God.
There was a big hoo-ha about it, you see.
I think I actually am remembering the headlines about it. That's awful.
That's awful. So now, after big hoo-ha, it says, well, we're going to give you papers now, but you won't need to pay for them. You won't need to pay for your passport. We're going to give you everything free of charge. Because the world was on their backs, breathing on their backs.
Good.
So how could you do such a thing?
Good. Well,
you call for these people to build up your country.
Right.
And now they build up your country, you want to deport them.
That's...
After 40 and 50 years being in your country, they've got children and grandchildren
right.
there. And then they look to you and say, well, we don't have no papers for you. because when they used to go for, they had to go for the other medical, the people lost the jobs because mm-hmm. they said, well, you're an illegal immigrant. But he said, but you sent for us
right.
all years ago.
Right. You asked me to come here.
Exactly, to help build up your country.
Yeah.
And now after all these years, you're saying, well, we're going to have to deport you now because we can't find your papers. Because what happened, the government destroyed the papers. So that's why they couldn't find them. But they were telling them, you need to go to this department to get your records.
Right.
And they knew, fine, well, that there was no records there.
Right.
Because they were destroyed.
That's evil. And that's what they're trying to do in the U.S. with military veterans, people from other countries who served in the U.S. military.
Yes.
You're supposed to be able to get citizenship after mm-hmm. that, or at least residency. And yes. Trump's like, never mind.
Yeah.
You got to get out of here now.
I got out. Sorry.
It's just crazy what people get up to.
What people get up to when they're in power.
Yes. Yes. They need to be in check. And if they're not in check, that's why I'm glad that, you know, Theresa May like got some feedback and was yes. like, okay, never mind, I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
But doesn't always work that way.
She got fire on a coattail. That's what she got. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. Good. Anyway. So let's talk about the peppers that are used
yes,
here.
Yes, the peppers, yes.
So Scotch bonnet yes. peppers are native to the Caribbean.
Yes.
Even though they're named after a Scottish hat.
Mm-hmm.
Are there different terms for them?
No, I would say no. Scotch bonnet is the general term you would use for it.
Okay. And these are quite hot.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The Scotch bonnet is like the staple, well, used to be the staple pepper to use for pepper sauce.
Used to be.
Yeah, but now you've got like the Caribbean reds now, different varieties.
What are Caribbean reds? Are those...
They're similar to like Scotch bonnet. It's just like it's on the same heat level.
I see.
But habaneros are lower. It's on a lower...
Habaneros lower are lower.
Lower. Yes.
So too low for you. You're not interested?
Or? No, generally they don't grow them here. It's not like... It's not a natural pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Your people are accustomed to a particular pepper, which is a Scotch bonnet. So you wouldn't necessarily... Habaneros. Well, when I first heard of habaneros as an American pepper.
Really? Yes. Oh, okay. Interesting. I know they're from Brazil originally, yeah. but yeah. a long yeah. time ago.
Yeah, but that's like they're South America, so you wouldn't actually think of habanero as a Caribbean or West Indian pepper.
Mm-hmm.
West Indian pepper was always Scotch bonnet.
Okay.
Bonnet.
So that's the main one today.
Yes.
All right. Makes sense. So are there any non-local, non-Caribbean hot sauces that you like? Are you into sriracha?
I used to like sriracha when I was in England.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean used to? like it was the one you could get? Or
It's the one that was mostly used in the restaurant that used to work.
I see.
So that okay. was like at the Caprice. They used to love a lot of sriracha, that sriracha sauce
mm-hmm.
in their ingredients on their menus.
But you don't like.
But
I
don't really have a favorite with peppers. I just stick to my own. Why?
You
why
stick to your own. So no Cholula, no Franks.
No, all no right. Churro, no, no.
I mean, I can tell you're really trying to think of like other sauces.
Yeah, and
literally,
I say no, because I see the list of pepper sauces. They said 21 pepper sauces to try worldwide. It is on folders.
Okay.
And they had a list of them because they had that one sriracha. Actually, the on the list it was 1 to 21. The first one up there was, I wouldn't say it was the number one, but the first one on the list was Tabasco.
Mm-hmm.
And then they mentioned that one, you said that Cholula.
Cholula.
Is that from Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm on the list, down at number 7. And then they had some, these other ones. That I can't remember the names of them because they're not in my vocabulary or in my head right now. Well, I can't advertise anybody else's, can I really, at yeah. the end of the day?
If you like one, I don't know.
I'm trying to think. Nothing's coming to me right now.
Fair. Do I believe you? I don't know, but that's allowed. Llewellyn, thank you so much
You're welcome, coming on Smart Mouth
and talking to us about your sauces. And
okay,
people can order them off your website, right?
Yes, you can order them off
what
your
website. What is the website?
Yeah. Llewellynspeppersauce.com.
Okay. Are you on any social media?
Not presently, no.
Okay. But, you should.
I think I will be after this.
Yeah, get on Instagram.
Okay.
People want to see how these things are made.
Okay, all right, no problem.
All right.
We'll do. All right. Thanks very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.